fortunate that I've been down here for 7 years now, and I think we have some key selling points down here that's made us our probably Gulf Asia's best selling destination. I believe it probably represents about 40% of our business. And I just jotted a few things down as to why, briefly the history of Huahin, and also why I think it is as successful as it is. And Huahin is Thailand's oldest beach town resort and became popular with the royal family following the construction of the Southern Railway in the 1920s. And the first of this was the Railway Hotel that started it all off, and where they started the first golf course was the Royal Huahin Golf Course that was built by the Scottish Railroad engineers. And the Railway Hotel was the first one that was opened down there. And the railway engineers actually constructed the Railway Hotel as well as the golf course. And that now, the Railway Hotel from 1924, is now the Centara Hotel, which is probably our best-selling hotel in Huahin. Along with the Centara, we've got the Hilton Hotel, the Marriott Hotel, the Hyatt Regency, and these are our best five-star selling hotels. And we've also got many 3 and 4 stars hotels as well, so whatever your clients' budgets are, we can offer 4 and 3 stars and basically come up with the package that your clients require. Obviously, the big part of what we're all interested in is the golf courses, and we've got 8 golf courses in Huahin. You'll be familiar with 2 or 3 of them, and obviously Black Mountain is probably the best known and the highest rated golf course in the Golf Digest, in the top 100. We've also got the Banyan Golf Course, and we've got Springfield Golf Course, and they represent really our 3 best golf courses down here. And we do have golf courses like Majestic Creek and Palm Hills and Sea Pines that do back up that. And it gives a good representation from medium quality golf courses to the better quality golf courses. What the 2 big things that make it Huahin an attractive destination for me is that all 8 golf courses in Huahin, is the short transfers to the golf course. It's anything from 10 minutes to 35 minutes. So the longest any of our golfers can go to the golf course is 35 minutes, which is a pretty good transfer time compared to perhaps other destinations in other areas. Maybe Bangkok, it can take you a couple of hours to get to a golf course. It can be quite a long time in Phuket as well, where the traffic's bad. But the 8 golf courses here are all fairly close, and some of them are close to town, 10 minutes away, 15 minutes away. And the furthest away is probably Springfield, which is about 35 minutes. So it all fits in fairly well as far as that's concerned. The other big plus that I always talk about really is the weather. And having been here 7 years, I now realize that Gulf Asian has got probably the best climate in the whole of Thailand. And the peak times are the coolest months, which is from November to March, where we have virtually unbroken blue skies, and it's the coolest time as well. And then from April to October, we have what's classed as our low season, where it's still very manageable to play golf. We may, in August, September, October, we may get a short, sharp shower, mid to late afternoon, and it generally doesn't last long and doesn't really affect the golfers too much. And at that time of year, we tend to ask the golfers to take a morning tea time so they're back in if there is a late afternoon shower. So the weather is a big part of golf in Huahin, and I saw some stat just recently from the general manager at Black Mountain. Harold told me that they've only been closed three days out of the 10 years they've been open for weather. So they've done pretty good as far as the weather's concerned. As far as the attractions are concerned here, we're not really like Phuket or Chiang Mai in the fact that we have quite spectacular attractions. We do have tours that include local city tours, that include the Royal Palace, the viewpoint, and local markets. Obviously, the massage is down here, the shopping is good as well. And probably the most best, most spectacular trip we have is the River Kwai Hotel, which is quite a long day, but it's also a great experience, and you can go see the there's a big history there with the Japanese War and the Death Railway, the museum up at Death Pass. So that's well worth the trip. It's a full day, and it's sort of 7 o'clock in the morning till, you know, 8 o'clock at night. So it is a long day, but it is well worth doing if any clients want to do it. With regarding packages that come down to Waihane, I find a lot of our European agents like to break the journey in Bangkok, maybe after an 11 or 12 hour journey from Europe. It's quite nice to break the journey in Bangkok, and a lot of my clients ask for 2 days in Bangkok where they can break the journey, relax in a hotel, maybe taking a game of golf and some shopping. And then after a couple of days in Bangkok of relaxation, they can then take the 2 or 3 hour trip south to Waihane. It's probably not the best road, I think sometimes the break in Bangkok obviously helps that, rather than follow a 3 hour transfer from a long flight. So I think that works quite well, breaking the journey in Bangkok. As far as packages are concerned as well, some of you may or not know that we do have the ferry to Pattaya from Waihane that goes every afternoon. So one of our popular tours is combining Waihane and Pattaya. And the ferry from Waihane to Bangkok is perhaps 2 hours, which is a big plus compared to spending 5 or 6 hours on a road where the traffic can be quite bad. So that's been going now regularly for about 2 years now. We do get a lot of clients that come down for 3 or 4 days in Waihane, play 3 rounds of golf, get the 2 hour ferry across to Pattaya, maybe play 3 rounds in Pattaya, including maybe a couple of the Siam courses and Lam Shi Bang and Chee Chan, and then make the way back to Bangkok. So that's an interesting tour as well that's proved quite popular over the last couple of years. Going forward, we are in the moment expanding the airport runway. That's actually ongoing as we speak. And the extension of the runway in Waihane now will allow the bigger jets to come in the next 6 months. So we're really hoping that the airport in Waihane is going to expand, and there's talk of flights coming in from Singapore, Shenzhen, Macau, all a bit up in the air at the moment, but hopefully within 6 months, the upgrade in the Waihane International Airport will bring in or make it more accessible without having to go through the long transfer from Bangkok. There is talk of the high-speed railway as well, which would reduce the transfer time from Bangkok down to around about 90 minutes from Bangkok, which will be a big plus as opposed to 3.5 hours. So if that comes about as well. So I'm pretty bullish about the future of Waihane going forward. That's it, basically. That's my overview of Waihane and why I think it's a successful destination.
Well, thank you very much, Ian, for this overview. I think it's quite helpful. When would you say is the best time of the year for European customers to travel to Waihane, considering summertime is quite nice in Europe?
For sure. It will be the European winter, so that's really when the best and the coolest weather is. So November to March has the best weather. We virtually get no rainfall whatsoever. Mm-hmm. The temperatures are the coolest in November, December and January. February is still quite good as well. So that really does favour the European market and makes it an excellent winter destination.
Okay.
On the other side of things, if we've got Australian agents and maybe some Asian agents, then they tend to travel between May and October, which does tend to be warmer. On the plus side, it is low season, so the prices tend to be cheaper on the golf courses as well as the hotels as well. So those people traveling between May and October obviously often gets the better deal.
Yeah, and also the courses are not so crowded in our low season here in Thailand.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean,
get better tea times.
You can virtually pick your tea times from May to October. You can go out any time you want.
Yeah.
It does get busy as far as tea times are concerned between November and March. And you can generally expect a four and a half hour round, which might be a little bit long for some people, but I think you've just got to accept that's the Thai way. It's warm. Everybody's got caddies. There's a drink stop every sort of three or four holes. So I think you've just got to be patient, enjoy the experience, and accept that sort of four and a half hours is probably the norm for a round of golf in the high season.
What sort of length of stay would you recommend for European golfers? Do you think 10 days is a good number?
Yeah, it varies quite a lot, actually. If you start at the beginning, the Asian people tend to be here for 3 or 4 days. The Australian seems to be here for 6 or 7 days. And then the European stay seems to be anything between 10 and 14 nights is the norm. So some people come straight down here for 2 weeks in Hua Hin. Some people will break the journey and have two days in Bangkok before they come down here. But I would think generally between 10 and 14 days is the norm for the European agents.
And what about any long stay options? Are there any in Hua Hin?
There are, tends not to be in high season. We have a few long stay villa projects where people will come and stay for 1 month to 2 months. We certainly have those options. In fact, even in high season, I have some Scandinavians that are quite happy to come down here and base themselves because after all, in Scandinavia, Finland, Norway, Sweden, they can't play golf. Virtually no golf. So it's a little bit like the Canadians going down to Florida, the snowbirds. In the same respect, the Scandinavians are quite happy to come down here and stay. They might hire a house, they might hire a villa, or they might just go for a cheaper hotel where they can spend, you know, stay off the winter and spend a couple of months down here. Everything's optional and arrangeable. No issue with that.
Okay. Thank you. As you have seen, we have opted for a meeting format rather than a webinar format in this session here. And the reason why we did this is because we would like to give everyone a chance to ask questions by voice, not just by typing. So whoever would like to ask Ian some questions or myself, please feel free to do so. Just unmute your microphone and let's give it a shot. Whoever wants to start.
I want to start, Pascal, if that
yeah,
is all right.
Sure, please.
Ian, could you please, for example, for my clients, beside of golf, that's of course a very important thing. It's also very important to have great food and beverage and a nice beach, because you know, it's just coming and playing golf in Thailand, you know, does make really sense. So it's, you know, a great mix of food and beverage, great hotel maybe with a beautiful beach and some culture. Could you tell me, just for the European clients, because you know, even in European, if you compare the clients from Scandinavia to UK and to Central Europe, let's say German-speaking markets, the needs of the hotels, they're really totally different. And I need the best five-star property. So could you just tell me again the best five-star properties in Hua Hin again, please?
Yeah, I generally got 4 or 5. By the way, Ergil, if you want to make a note of my email and you want to contact me, please, by all means do. You know, we can talk personally as well. But my email is Ian at
golf. I have your email, Ian. I have your email.
Okay, good. Well, the hotels, probably the best beach is probably the Hyatt.
Yeah.
The Intercontinental is probably, in my opinion, the best hotel. The most popular is the Centara. And generally for The Hilton is probably the other one that's the, I think we've got four or five top quality hotels that are all on the beach and they've all got good access to the beach. So the five-star hotels tend to be located on the beach. Regarding food and beverages, one of the things that we do give to our guests when they arrive here, we give them a Huaheng golf guide. And in there, I've put in my personal recommendations for restaurants. And that includes the best steakhouses, the best Italian, some Spanish restaurants. We've also got, obviously, people like the Thai restaurants. We give advice on whether you need to pre-book that. But we're very lucky here with some fabulous seafood in the restaurants. I don't think you'd be disappointed on that. As I mentioned earlier, we don't have the spectacular attractions that Phuket has, or perhaps Chiang Mai has, or even Bangkok has. Huaheng is quite a laid back. It's not known for its nightlife. Obviously, it's quite laid back. We've got some good massage. I've got some good restaurants, and I don't think you'll be disappointed with the quality of food that your customers would have.
Okay. Thanks, Ian.
Hello, Ian. This is Bjorn from Sweden speaking. you mentioned the long stay for the Scandinavian, as you mentioned, that it's quite popular due to our climate. Yeah. This year, we have been really lucky and unfortunate this year because we haven't had any snow this year. So a lot of golf courses in the south have been open the whole year round. But if you're looking at the long stay packages for plus 1 month, as you know, the long stay packages here in Europe, if you go to Spain and Portugal, most of the times are included with maybe one or maximum two golf courses. But the long stay you have and you can offer, is that they can include more than one or two golf courses, so they have a little bit of a flexible solution to play not only one course, maybe 20 times, which is quite boring.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I had a Danish agent who was with me not two months ago, who came out with exactly the same question, and he asked me what we could do. I said, well, we've got three or four properties that, for example, the Banyan Resort now has turned into a long stay property. Okay. It's only like something like 25,000 baht a month with fabulous facilities. So depending on what your clients want, I would just include three rounds at Banyan, three rounds at Black Mountain, three rounds at Springfield, maybe a couple of rounds at Majestic Creek, maybe a couple of rounds at Palm Hills. So there's some variety there. And we'll just give flexibility. We don't have any weekend prices for golf. So it's the same price every day of the week. So I could just give your clients 12 rounds of golf over perhaps a 2 month period. They can just ring the office, make a booking, come and pick them up and take them to the golf courses, and they can pick and choose whenever they want. If they want to book an additional golf while they're here, absolutely no problem at all. But that's totally flexible. Yeah, no problem at all. In fact, the people, probably the most prominent resort is the Black Mountain Resort. And even though people like to be there, they want the options to go play Banyan and Springfield. So what we tend to do is we've given the rates to the concierge at Black Mountain. So anybody who wants to add, okay, let's go play Springfield one day, let's go play Banyan one day, then they just pay. We organise a pickup, they go and they can do as many other rounds of golf away from Black Mountain as they want to do. So, the answer to your question is 100%. Yeah, exactly. You can see a picture there of one of the villas at Black Mountain, and they take the breakfast in the clubhouse, and they've got tremendous practice facilities up there. And if they want to go play another golf course, they just go to the reception, and they've got our rates up there, and they can go have a game of golf at Banyan, Springfield, or anywhere else they would choose. So the answer to your question is, yes, it's fully flexible. You can have as many rounds of golf in different areas as you want. It's not a lot of fun playing just two rounds of golf over the space of a couple of months.
Yeah. Is there any kind of shuttle service provided by the different, either the hotels or the golf courses, like in a conjunction, or do they order their private transportation between the accommodation and the golf courses?
We provide that. The Golf Asia and Vans provide that. So we'll go pick them up We'll wait for the clients afterwards and bring them back. We give the resort quite competitive prices. So, some of the golf courses have got their own shuttle vans, but they tend to use them for other things, for sightseeing and water parks. And they're not generally geared up to other golf. Black Mountain is really just interested in Black Mountain. They don't have any rates at the other golf courses, but they want the clients to be happy. So, it's all flexible. We can certainly talk about that.
Good. Thank you. Could I ask a question?
For sure. Yeah.
Is there any 5-star luxury hotels actually on a golf course, or are they all just beach located?
They're all beach located. There are a couple of hotels that are actually attached to the golf courses. Springfield, Lakeview have got their own golf hotels. I wouldn't recommend them. They're mainly geared for the Thai people. It's a Thai breakfast, which wouldn't appeal to me and you, I don't think. And they're also quite a long way out. I really wouldn't. I think the attraction of Hua Hin is to actually, because the transfers to the golf courses are so short, that people would rather be at the Centara Hotel, the Marriott Hotel, or the Intercontinental Hotel, and just travel 10 minutes to Sea Pines or 15 minutes to Banyan. Having worked in Europe and been in an agent and sort of seen how Turkey has sort of taken over the package holidays, where people are in all-inclusive resorts and they eat and drink and everything's all-inclusive. It's not like that in Hua Hin. But I think that's also the attraction of being in Hua Hin, is that once you come back from golf, you can go for a massage, you can, out, for example, a minute from the front of the Centara Hotel. There's two or three fabulous massage shops. There's also three or four great restaurants. And I think people would rather be in the quaint little village of Hua Hin and just make the trips to the golf club every day and come back. So the answer to your question is there's no quality hotels that are actually on the golf course.
Would you recommend just booking bed and breakfast then to customers? Yeah,
absolutely. I've been in Thailand for 15 years now, and I think one of the attractions is eating out in the Thai restaurants and enjoying the Thai hospitality. And I don't see any great advantage of spending quite a lot of money in a 5-star hotel when they can be out enjoying some of the nice food at probably a third of the price as well. Although people do tend to ask for full board, in my experience, it doesn't really work. And I think half the attraction is going to the different restaurants, whether it be a Thai restaurant, whether it's a La Grappa, or one of our most well-known Italian restaurants, or if it's Prime, one of our best steakhouse restaurants. I think variety is the key there, and I certainly won't want to be eating in a hotel every night, put it that way.
Are caddies and buggies mandatory all the time, yeah?
No, they're not mandatory. Caddies are.
You can walk then, can you?
You can walk. It's a little bit different now with the present COVID situation now, because they've brought in compulsive carts just for the next month. So I think that'll all change. So I think we can ignore that. But generally, just a cart and a caddy and you can walk. And I think those of us in Europe are used to walking and just having the caddy take care of us, rake the bunkers, replace the divots, give us a little shoulder massage when we're playing a bit rough, get a drink when required. There are a couple of golf courses in Bangkok and also in Pattaya and also in Phuket, actually, where the buggies are compulsory. So, for example, a golf course like Red Mountain in Phuket, which is particularly hilly, you couldn't get around that without a cart. So that's compulsory. Same as like Alpine in Bangkok, same as like the Siam courses are also compulsory when it comes to carts. But not in Hua Hin. You can walk on every golf course, that's for sure.
Many people combine Phuket with Hua Hin.
Not really, because it's I worked in Phuket for 5 years, and quite honestly, the journey from Phuket up to Hua Hin is horrendous. It's 8 or 9 hours on bad roads, and there's really nothing much in between where you can even break your journey. And I found people who do it, they'll be in Hua Hin, they'll take a 3-hour transfer to Bangkok, they'll then have to check in, get a flight down to Phuket, and it's all a little bit messy, and and the transfer time can be 6 or 7 hours. So that doesn't often happen. The combination holidays tend to be Hua Hin and Pattaya, Bangkok and Hua Hin, Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai, Bangkok and Pattaya, somewhere where there's a decent like 2 or 3 hour transfer in between where you're not inconvenienced by flights. Saying that, Chiang Mai is only like a 35-minute flight from Bangkok, so that actually works quite well as well. But Phuket is a little bit inaccessible when it comes to that. And the golf also down there is very expensive, and you've got a very short high season. They get a lot of rain down there, and not putting you off, but if it was, Phuket is a spectacular island. It's got the name, it's got the beaches. If you're there between November and March, it's also very good. But it is quite expensive, and I wouldn't be combining it with anywhere else.
Are the golf courses better in the Hua Hin area to Phuket generally, or very similar?
Good question. I think you've got, they may be slightly better in Phuket, because you've got Red Mountain, you've got Blue Canyon, you've got Loc Palm, you've got Laguna. You've obviously got two courses maybe there's not that much difference between them. I think that the three top courses that we've got in Hua Hin, as in Black Mountain, Banyan and Springfield, will stand up to any golf courses anywhere else, whether it's in Chiang Mai or Pattaya or Bangkok. Probably slightly better value than Phuket as well. So I don't think there's that much between them, but maybe I'm a bit biased now living in Hua Hin. Maybe I think Hua Hin's slightly better.
What sort of price of the green fee? I mean, I know, you have your own rates and stuff, obviously, that we buy into, but what would be like Black Mountain in the high season? Give an idea, roughly, just so.
Well, that's about a 4,000 baht walk-in.
What's that in US, maybe?
I'm not sure in US. I know in the UK.
£4, sorry. About 100,
closing on nearly £100 a round at the exchange rate at the moment.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's just applicable between November and March.
Yeah.
Prices do come down then. But once you've added a caddy fee on top of that and maybe had a drink afterwards, you're probably into £120, £130 day. But it is a great experience. It's a European tour venue. I call it the Augusta of Asia because it's always in immaculate condition. And they've just built a new 9 holes there as well, which is also very good. So I think the top end courses, wherever you go, like Siam Old Course in Pattaya, maybe Alpine, Chiang Mai, maybe Nikanti, maybe Thai Country Club, maybe Red Mountain Blue, all those top end courses are around about a similar kind of price. And when I'm putting packages together, I try to vary it a little bit by putting 2 or 3 medium price courses along with the a couple of higher price courses as well.
Is it last question for me? Sorry, is there an upscale boutique hotel in Hua Hin on the beach?
Yeah, there's a couple. There's the Diva Song and there's the Let's See Hotel that are particularly excellent. But I'll drop you a line after. If you don't drop me a line, I'll send you the details on them. The Let's See Hotel, I mean, they are quite expensive, but the boutique styles are lovely and they've got a real character about them. Maybe only 40 or 50 rooms, beautiful breakfast area looking over the beaches. And of course, in some of these boutique hotels, the staff are second to none, because you tend to get individual attention to a lot of your clients, as opposed to a 300 room hotel like the Hyatt, like the Hilton. You might not get the personal service that you do at the smaller boutique hotels, but I can certainly send you details on a couple of ones that I like and recommend.
Thanks, Ian. Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? I have a question here from Robert. And he is asking, hi Ian, how would you see the quality of beaches at Hua Hin and Koh Samui? Koh Samui has two golf courses, right?
It's only really got one, actually, the Santiburian. It's a bit limited down there. I've not really been able to sell Koh Samui at all because I don't think people want it. I wouldn't even class it as a golf destination. When you've only got one golf course, there's not really much to go at. It's quite hilly, very undulating, maybe not everybody's cup of tea. I'm not overly impressed, if I'm being totally honest with you, about Koh Samui. It's quite, and where you stay at the golf course, the Santiburi Resort, is also very expensive as well. Maybe a couple of nights will be enough down there, but I'm not sure I would travel all the way down there to do that for a golfing holiday. Hua Hin doesn't have the best beaches in the world, I'll have to say that, although in the last month of the lockdown, I've been walking on the beach every day for the past 3 weeks just to keep myself sane. And it is great to walk down there, but it's not the quality of a Phuket. Having been down there for 3 or 4 years, 5 years, the quality of beaches in Phuket are second to none, and that's what it, you know, the Andaman Sea, the turquoise waters, anybody wants to go down there sailing and fishing and PP Island, it is spectacular. But I don't think anywhere in Thailand actually compares to the quality of beaches in Phuket.
Okay. How far ahead do you have to book in the high season, like January to March, to get reasonable tea times, Ian?
I would think particularly somewhere like from the middle of January through to the end of February, where we tend to get the Chinese New Year, the courses are absolutely chock-a-block. The golfers are like turning out 108. I know Black Mountain will be 180 golfers a day. So really, to be guaranteed the tee times that you want, and everybody seems to want to play between 8:30 and 10:30 every day. Nobody seems to want to play in the afternoon for some reason, which I've never completely understood. But you would have to book at least 3 months in advance for that particularly busy time. I would have to say that we play our golf at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we get the cooler part of the day at the 5 o'clock, when it's absolutely beautiful. There's hardly anybody on the golf course. So if your golfers want a quicker round of golf and perhaps the cooler part of the day, I would suggest teeing off in the afternoon. But the answer to your question is I will book 2 or 3 months in advance for the busy times.
That doesn't seem too bad. I thought it'd be like 9-10 months or something.
It's not been as bad in the last couple of years. It used to be like that, and I used to have to take out. I used to have two teams 2 times a day at peak times at every golf course, just so I had a backup. But just be wary of times like the Chinese New Year, when we do get inundated, and that's every golf course will be full for the best part of 3 to 4 weeks. So just be wary of the Chinese New Year. Outside of that, you should be able to get in outside 3 or 4 months.
Is that mid-Jan to mid-Feb? No.
I would say mid-January to the end of February is our busiest time, and I like people to try and book ahead of time if they possibly can.
Thanks. I have an additional question, Ian. Seaside courses. Are there any seaside courses in Thailand, or is it regulations that they are reserved for, like accommodation and hotels? So what is the options there?
Are the golf courses actually on the ocean? Are they actually by the seas?
No, the seaside courses, like when you're going to Scotland Island playing links courses or seaside courses. Do you have any?
Surprisingly enough, I was doing a little competition the other day with some clients, and we tried to work out how many golf courses were actually on the sea in Thailand, and we could only come up with 5, which is amazing when you actually consider, you know, it's such a slim piece of land that. I think we got Mission Hills in Phuket. I think we got Sea Pines in Hua Hin. I think we got Best Ocean in Bangkok. I think we've got one of the courses in Pluto Luang Navy course in Pattaya. But generally, they're not links golf courses. And they tend to be sort of parkland. you know, someone like Springfield is a typical Nicholas design, loads of dog legs, big bunkers. They're all tree-lined golf courses. Black Mountain's probably got some of the best scenery you'll ever come across any of the golf courses. The closest course we have to a Lynx course is Banyan, even though it's not on the course because it was all built from natural land and all the land is very undulating and nothing's been moved by the architect. So when you do look at Banyan Golf Club, you can see the picture behind there, it does have an effect of being a Lynx style golf course. It's where you can run the ball up through the dunes and it does have that feel to it.
So a bit like the Montgomery in Da Nang, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say that if you do like the Lynx golf, then that's where you want to be in Vietnam. And certainly courses like Hoi An Shores, the new Trent Jones golf course, that's just about open now, one of the best Lynx courses you'll ever come across. Yeah. Along with BRG Da Nang, along with what you just mentioned there, Montgomery Lynx, along with the Faldo course, Laguna Lanco. Those are all like a lot of the golf courses in Vietnam have been built on reclaimed land on the beach. So it's been an absolute joy for someone like Greg Norman to come and build a golf course on that because it's just so natural. So if you're wanting Lynx golf, then I would look at somewhere like Vietnam as opposed to Thailand. It's the golf is probably slightly better, but they're probably not as far on as regards the tourism. You know, they're still in its early years. It's an exciting destination, but probably doesn't have the they're probably not as receptive as the Thai people when it comes to the Thai, but I think that'll change in the next couple of years.
Thanks.
Good. Ian, I have another question here from Thomas. He's asking if Hua Hin is still the place to be for the high-end Chinese.
No, we've never had any chance. I think that's one of the reasons why we've escaped any problems with this COVID thing here, because we just don't get Chinese in Hua Hin. They're not interested. They don't like the fact they've got to travel from Bangkok down to... If it changes, like I was explaining to you earlier on about the expansion of the runway, I would think that's going to open doors to the Chinese coming in here. But there's nothing here that particularly appeals to the Chinese. The Chinese like brand new hotels. We don't really have that many brand new hotels here. You know, I took a bunch of Chinese agents to the Sentara Hotel and they walked out straight away. They didn't like the old colonial style. So I think we're quite fortunate that we've had no... I can't say the same about Pattaya or Phuket because I think the Chinese have a lot more for the attractions down there. But as far as visits in Hua Hin, I've a handful, really next to nothing. It doesn't even register.
What's the chat in your company about the UK market and do you think we're the slowest at coming out of this pandemic, you know, and we might be the last ones to be able to travel from Europe?
It looks like you and Spain and Italy are probably in the same, you know, from what I'm reading, it's in a similar kind of boat. Having said that, I had a booking yesterday from 8 guys from the UK saying we're so desperate to come here. I said, book us our usual 8 rooms in the Key Resort in Patong. We're coming out in November, no matter what. So I think the general feeling is I'm getting that people just can't wait to get back here and play. Who knows when everything's guesswork. My personal opinion is the international flights probably won't be in place until maybe October. It'd be fantastic if it's earlier, but I think that's maybe a realistic sort of time. I do hope I'm wrong, but talking to a couple of agents from Australia this morning, they seem to have written off the whole year as far as international travel. I mean, maybe you can tell me what they're offering over there regarding flights. I presume nothing at the moment.
No, nothing.
No. Yeah. I think we'll know more in another month or so's time, and you know, hopefully you'll be able to tell us when things are flying. I'm sure we'll start getting inquiries from the UK people and the agents as soon as they can fly. They've got some wanting to come out next month, and I just don't see how they're going to make it. So
I'm going to ask you a question, because my clientele is quite aged. It's like 65 plus for some reason, because I'm sort of fairly upscaled. But do you think Hua Hin is more popular with the old people, seniors and plus, you know, seniors upwards, rather than
absolutely
guys or
yeah, you do get a few groups of guys there that like the golf, but I would say the majority of our customers are 55 to 75. It's definitely the older crew. Basically, for the main reason being, it's not a party town. You know, it's with it being the Royal Connection here, they are quite, although there is a small bar area, it tends to be more respectful. Bars are shut down relatively early. The older people like the hotels, like the Centaur and the Intercom. They like to do the shopping. They like to have a day off from golf in between. They like to have the massages. They like to go to nice restaurants. And in that respect, I think it's very much geared up to the 55, 75-year-old age group.
Lovely. Ian, what about golf tournaments in Hua Hin? You think this is some a product that European agents or other agents may be interested in? Maybe we can talk a little bit about.
Honestly, I think it's an Australian thing. Is this tournaments? I mean, I'm you know, as you well know, I'm from the UK, and I've never had any desire to compete in a tournament with 150, 200 people. The people I've always wanted to travel with four balls and eight balls and play with my friends. The Australian seems to have a different attitude. They want to play competitive golf all the time, which is why I think our Centaur Masters has worked so well for them. They just love competitive golf. I don't know, maybe some of you guys from the UK can tell me that, because I only ever travel from four of us and eight of us, and it was never, you know, it was always quite competitive amongst ourselves, but we didn't really play in tournaments.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, good. Nothing's changed then. We just like to have a game amongst ourselves, have a game of cards afterwards, and a couple of drinks and a nice meal, and look forward to playing golf afterwards. But the Aussies seem to be completely different, and they kind of fill our tournaments. We get 450 to 500 people for the Centaur Masters in June, and they play four rounds of competitive golf. They go to the Vietnam Masters in September. That's sold out as well. And they just love it. You know, they're very competitive, and every shot counts, and it works very well. But I just don't think it's an English thing.
What's the format? Is it medal or Stableford or what?
I think they have different age categories, like an A, B and a C group. So the higher categories play Stableford, whereas the serious golfers like to play medal player, so they find out who's the best golfer at the end of the week. So I think it's a mixture of medal and stable that they do. And obviously you run the risk of, when you've got Asian people out here, that sometimes the handicaps can be a little bit of a problem. So we tend to give the better prizes to the lucky draw people, rather than those of them coming with 45 points and upset everybody. So we try and work around it the best we can and keep it as fair as we can. And it works well. But I think for the European market, we tend to travel in our small groups, maybe groups from the golf club. The biggest group I've done in from a golf club is like 36 from a golf club, where a captain's chosen to bring his members on a trip out here. But generally, the groups are sort of 4, 8, 12, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not to say we don't cater for the single golfer, because we've got enough golfers here that many single guys come out here, and we pair them with other Golf Asian clients. And obviously that's a good way to know people and make friends as well. So that works too.
Right.
Okay, last round for questions. Anyone? Anything else?
Would you guys support tour operators' websites with, you know, giving us good quality golf images and hotel images, yeah?
Yeah, most definitely. You can contact us for the images for your site. Also updated packages that you need, some specials that you want to run. So for Hua Hin, you can contact Ian directly, or also our main contact is sales@golfasian.com. And then we will get back to you with whatever you need.
David, over the years, we've sort of combined a lot of our trips. That we've put some fabulous pictures together from Vietnam, hotels, golf courses, you name it. and Pascal's put all that together. So I just send you a link for the library, you put your password in, and then you can just make all your tours as you see them with the best quality images that go with it. Because we both know from experience of when I used to buy golf holidays, before I was looking to come out here, all I wanted to look at was fantastic pictures of golf courses where I was going to be playing on the golf courses. So I think we've put some great pictures together, and it'll help sell the product.
Great, thanks.
Okay, so next week we will do something similar for Pattaya. That will be run by Richard, our Pattaya expert. And that will take place at the same time on the same link on the 12th of May. So if you would like to learn more about the Eastern Seaboard of Thailand, feel free to join us. We will talk about Siam Country Club courses, Lam Chabang, some of the other hotels there, and also the close proximity to Bangkok. If you're not available, we will upload it to our website, and we can send you the link as well. Then you can view it at your own time.
Thanks a lot. It's been really useful, very useful.
Okay.
Welcome.
Great to have you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I'll send you an email in, yeah?
Yeah, please do, David. Anything you want, we'll try and put some individual packages together for you. That's just really for you. You know, I don't particularly want to put things in there that everybody else has got. I would rather do something that you said you'd like to do. If you want to combine it with some sightseeing, if you want to have a couple of nights in Bangkok and play some golf, if you want to do a foodie tour or something like something a little bit different, where you take your clients out and they try all the local foods, or if you want to do a city tour and see the local markets and whatever, just give me the suggestions. We'll put it together for you, no problem.
Thanks all for your help. Cheers, mate.
All right. Yeah, bye. You too. All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.